Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live, where we bring you the best in music, books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us. Now, here is your host, Cyrus Webb.
It is 30 minutes past the hour, and you're listening to Conversations Live, where we connect you with the artists and authors you love, who bring you the music and books you can't get enough of. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Thank you all so much for staying with us. I want to thank our first two guests for the show, Alenka Rakowska and also author Noah Nimrodi, for coming on to talk about how their passion has not only led them into the world of writing, but also what they hope you take away from the work that they're now presenting to the world. We're now turning it over to music, and we're going to be speaking to a music legend here in a moment. Nile Rodgers is going to talk to us a little bit about his journey in life, his new book, La Freak, and also what he hopes you take away from it. Also, at 45 minutes past the hour, we have a 90-year-old artist, Roz Geller, will be joining us live from Ohio to talk to us about her love of the arts and also what inspires her all these years later to keep painting her way to success. Another great half hour coming up for us. Glad you all could stay with us. As I said, though, our next guest is someone that has really shaped the music that all of us enjoy today. Nile Rodgers is someone that everyone from my mother to me have kind of grown up listening to and also being able to enjoy. He's joining us live now to talk about this journey in music. Nile, welcome to Conversations Live.
Hi, how are you?
Doing really well, and again, it's an honor to be able to speak with you. I appreciate you coming on the show today. The new book is called La Freak, an upside-down story of family, disco, and destiny, and yours has really been a life, I think, that a lot of people may not even have realized will kind of in some ways mirror their own. I want to talk about, for one thing, the level of success, because you are a person, as you said in the book, Oprah said to you that you're one of the richest people that she knew. What has it been like for you to know that your music and what you do and what you love has affected people literally all around the world?
Well, first, let's put that in context. When Oprah said that, that was on her second season of her being on the air.
Right, right.
So at that, now she's the richest person I know. success, you know, unfortunately or fortunately, whatever, however you want to look at it, is sort of judged by the amount of money that you generate. And mm-hmm. I guess that somehow translates into the amount of listeners or people that have been touched by your product. But in my life, it's not quite the same, because music is one of those unique kind of art forms where the person doesn't actually have to buy it to be influenced by it. People can just hear it wherever they go. And more often than not, even after you buy it or when the record is hot, if it's good or it's timeless and a classic, it lives on forever, I guess.
Yeah.
So for me, I guess the thing that I take away from it is I've been able to create something that has absolutely changed my life, but it's amazing to do something that you know has had an effect on other people. And I'm always amazed when people tell me how much they enjoy the music or how they can remember exactly where they were when this happened, or
mm-hmm.
Or I had my first date or my first kiss, or I bought my car, or I crashed my car, or our house caught on fire. You know, it's interesting because I don't think in terms of music in those terms when I'm creating it, but the fact that people digest it and it becomes a new part of their reality, it's great. That's its own reward.
Yeah, yeah. You say in the book, something that I can personally relate to as someone who didn't grow up with my father, but you talk about what your father did give to you. In the book, La Freak, you said that he gave you his kindness, open-mindedness, and music. Talk to us about that gift of music and how it personally helped you through your own life and through your own journey.
My dad, unfortunately, was, he was a heroin addict when I was born, but he was a working musician for a while. And every time I was around him, he always taught me how to read music and read rhythm patterns. He bought me exotic little instruments. And he was just such a kind, loving, open person. Unfortunately, He fell victim to drug addiction. I mean, I wouldn't say fall because he chose. But for me, music was more than a way out of a desperate lifestyle because I, you know, you've read the book. I had a tough go. I started out, you know, my mom, she literally had one period and got pregnant. So 13 years old being pregnant right away. So I had a tough childhood in that my family, they were loving and they were caring, but drug addiction permeated our entire clan. I mean, my mom became a heroin addict, my stepfather, almost all of the immediate adults that I dealt with. So music gave me something that I could focus on, something that I could do, that I could practice, because, you know, mainly music is a solitary life until you become good enough to play it with others.
Right.
So since I basically was a loner, it gave me something to focus on and to achieve. And, you know, and kids are very people probably are very goal-oriented, but kids are very, very goal-oriented. You know, we play sports and we play games. And I was the kind of person who loved to play puzzles and games and run around and do that sort of thing. And music gave me a sense of achievement in that, you know, you have a little thing that you're practicing, and all of a sudden you're good at it, and you can do it at will. And I knew at a certain point in time that that was going to be my profession.
Mm, yeah, and that is, as I think as people would say, the rest is history, and we're going to talk a little bit more about the history. For those that are just tuning in, either on the radio dial here or online through blogtalkradio.com, you're listening to Conversations Live. I'm speaking with legend Nile Rodgers. We're talking about his journey in life, what really molded him in life. He was talking about the gift of music that his father gave him and how his circumstances molded him. In his book, this is all chronicled in Le Freak, an upside-down story of family, disco, and destiny. Another part where I think the family and destiny come together, Nile, is when you talk about Emmett, who was the boyfriend of your grandmother, Lenora, and you talk about this great lesson, and I think young people can really benefit from this, and that is the importance not only of hard work, but of doing your very best in everything you do. Talk to us about how being in that airport, going to work with him, helped you to realize what was really important and how to get to where you wanted to in life.
Yeah, you're talking about the big turning point. So I used to work at the Van Nuys Airport in Los Angeles, California. And, you know, the only black people, for the most part, who came into that airport were people like us who were cleaning the airport. Except Ray Charles. Ray Charles owned a private plane, and Ray Charles was a pilot. Now, he wasn't an official pilot because he was blind, but everybody knew that he could fly the plane. And the big story now, you know, sometimes when you hear these types of stories, they're a little bit of they're exaggerated somewhat, but mm-hmm. when you're a child and you hear them, you take this stuff as fact. And I've talked to many members of his family, and I've talked to a lot of people who worked at the airport and a lot of aviators. And so somewhere between my story and the big gigantic legend is the truth. But basically what happened is Ray and his crew were flying to a gig, and it was very low ceiling, low visibility, and you had to land with instruments, ILS, as they say, instrument landing system. And and somehow the way the story went was that Brother Ray, as they used to call him, was able to bring down the plane in this very thick suit, because as far as he was concerned, it was the same anyway. They were just, you know, giving him the instrument readings. And when I heard this story, all I kept thinking about is, my God. Now, remember, I'm a child, and of course right. I'm not really comparing myself to Ray Charles, who in my household was legendary, but still it was just the actions to think that this man could do something so tremendous. And it was not just for himself, but for everybody else, because I'm thinking he saved everyone's life, and they wound up going and playing the show. So when I heard this story that he did this miraculous feat, all I wanted to do was to to do something to help others, because I associated musicians with altruism, because everybody who worked at everybody who landed at that airport, they were all really kind to me, and they used to always give me life lessons and tips. You know, they always tell me to work hard and you know, and keep my nose to the grindstone and all that sort of thing. You know, because they were all show business types: Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, Ray Charles, Elvis Presley. Everybody came to that airport, and I guess probably it was interesting because they didn't look as a young black teenager as a threat or anything like that. They didn't look at me as a bad kid. They looked at me as a kid that they wanted to help. And I appreciated those life lessons. And I can directly chart some of those people, the path of my success to some of those people at that airport. The first gig that I got with a professional band was with a group called New York City. And they were on a record label that was owned by a man named Wes Farrell, who in fact was Frank Sinatra. He was Frank Sinatra's son-in-law. He married Christina Sinatra. And the airplane that I used to clean up all the time was called the Christina II, named after Frank's daughter.
Wow. Wow. An amazing story. And again, to be around this and to be shaped by this, especially that story, you know, I think is amazing. And I think that should be a great lesson for all of us, because we never know where that inspiration will come from, you know, to be prepared at all times, to give your best. You know, now you started this conversation and talking about your family and its difficulties, especially when it came to the vices. You were very honest in the book about your own vices, but also the wake-up calls for you. And how you realized that if you were meant to be able to do what you loved, which was this music, even aside from the fame of it, if you wanted to be able to do it and be appreciated, you had to be at your best. What do you hope we as readers take away from this? Because I think it's interesting, not only as you talk about the family, talk about all the celebrities, David Bowie's and Diana Ross's and all these individuals you were, Elton John, able to work with, there seems to be still a humility that this is something that it really is a gift. How do you stay appreciative of the gift today, and how can we be appreciative of our own gift in life?
Well, for me, the gift is really the pleasure is in the doing. I happen to have been lucky enough to be at the right place at the right time, doing the right thing, and having the right drive and determination. But I always loved making music, even when I wasn't really getting paid.
Mm-hmm.
The fact is that my first job out of high school was with Sesame Street, and I started doing well at a very early age. But as we all know, in the music business, is, you know, fraught with ups and downs. So by the time I made it, my basic love for music was still there. I'm just a worker. That's what I do. The fact is that I wound up writing the biggest record for Diana Ross in her life, biggest record for Sister Sledge, the biggest record for David Bowie, biggest record for Madonna, you know, Like a Virgin, let's say, all that stuff. So I wound up producing and writing a lot of these huge, massive hits. But the truth is that all of that basically came from me wanting to get up in the morning and go to work. I just happened to raise my pay grade. But my work ethic was exactly the same for Madonna as it would be for an artist who was unknown. As a matter of fact, the interesting thing is that my record with Madonna is sort of what made her the big, gigantic superstar. Now, it's true, Borderline happened before Like a Virgin, but Like a Virgin is the biggest selling record of her career and the biggest selling record of my career.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to really speak about this stuff accurately, because these are not absolute formulas.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing that is absolute is my love and my passion for doing my job, which is getting up, playing guitar, arranging, producing, helping another person figure out what the problems are and helping them actualize their dream. When I'm doing it for myself, it's another thing entirely. It's usually an artistic vision. I'm sort of having fun. I'm making myself feel good. But when I'm actually hired to do music by commission, which is basically what I've done all my life, that there's a work ethic that kicks in me that I absolutely believe goes back to my childhood, because I was socialized to care for people. I was, you know, a Boy Scout, a Cub Scout. You know, when you would see a little old lady standing at the corner, she would wait for you to help you walk her across the street.
Right.
When I was 16 years old, I joined the Black Panther Party. Same thing, you know, even though the Black Panther Party had an outwardly political message, the truth of the matter is that our days felt much more like the Boy Scouts than it felt like the revolutionaries fighting in the hills of, you know, wherever.
Wow.
We did exactly the same thing in the Black Panthers that I did in the Cub Scout and the Boy Scouts. We go help little old ladies. We feed children. We paint people's houses. We wash the streets. All of the other, you know, high-level stuff that made the newspapers, well, you know, that's what, that was the top-level people do. But, you know, the worker bees, which I've always been a worker, is basically the same, because, as I said, I was socialized to care for people and to do jobs where you're helping people. It feels good to me to do that.
Yeah.
And my style of record production is basically a variation on that theme.
Yeah. You, again, everyone, we're speaking to Nell Rogers, a music legend, but also, I think, as you can tell by this conversation, just a really thoughtful individual who has lived great lessons, but also is sharing those lessons now with us through his new book, La Freak, an Upside Down Story of Family, Disco, and Destiny. You know, now,
and it's a real page turner too. Come on, you got
it. It is. I've already posted my review on Amazon.com, and others have as well. It really is. There's so much in it, but I have to say, and I don't want to spoil it for those who haven't read it. You drop a real bombshell on us in the epilogue of this book about yourself.
Oh, yeah.
I'll just ask generally, how are things with you? Are you okay?
You know, physically right now, I feel pretty good. You know, it's life is tough. You know, my partner, Bernard Edwards, he and I, we started Chic together. We wrote all those great songs, Sister Sledge, Diana Ross, Chic, you know, Good Times, Freak Out, all those things. I mean, Bernard's been dead 15 and a half years, and that's an amazing thing to me. And so many of the people that started out with me, Luther Vandross, you know, we all started out together. You listen to the first Chic albums and Sister Sledge, that's Luther who taught us how to do that style of singing and vocal production. Luther's been dead almost 7 years now. Tony Thompson, our drummer, same thing. Our keyboard player, who was only 19 years old when he joined us, he's dead. When you look at the original pictures of the Chic organization, all of the men in those pictures are dead except for me. So every day I wake up is a gift.
Mm.
So even if I'm feeling bad, I got to tell you, I wake up and say, I feel great.
Yeah.
Extreme medical problems that I've had and had to deal with, as you spoke of in the epilogue of the book, it just is what it is, and it's hard and it's tough. I got to tell you, believe me, it is no picnic. And when it first struck me, I didn't know what to do. I was terrified, and I started a daily blog on NileRogers.com because I was afraid. I couldn't sleep at night. I didn't know what to do, and I just started putting it out there, and I realized that there were so many other people who were suffering from similar things. And the other thing that shocked me was how many musicians started to open up to me and thanked me for talking about it. And I said, well, where were you guys when I was looking for you, when I was reaching out? And people were, they just don't like to talk about stuff like that. And I get it, but I needed to talk about it because I needed better information. So as it stands today, I feel great.
Mm-hmm.
I've got the top doctors in the world. Things are going cool. I just came back from a month on tour with Seal, which was phenomenal. We killed them every night, 20,000 people. I'm getting ready to go back out on tour with my band Chic. For the next year, I'm doing more than I've ever done artistically as far as live performances, even when Chic was big in the 70s and the 80s. I've just written my first Broadway musical. That's opening at the Alabama Shakespeare Festival as part of next season. things are going great. The book is doing well. Everybody's calling me every day asking me about the film rights of the book. So I feel pretty good about life right now.
Well, I have to say, we want to thank our friends, of course, at Random House for helping with this interview. But now I had, and you probably remember this, I had reached out to you on Twitter as well. Neil is very active on Twitter and Facebook, and was saying, hey, you know, was looking forward to speaking with you. And, I mean, within the hour, basically, you know, you had gotten back with me, and we were able to get this set up. So thank you so much for doing
no
that and for sharing with us. Again, the book is Le Freak, an upside-down story of family, disco, and destiny. We're speaking to the man himself, Nile Rodgers. Now, thank you so much for coming on. The book's available at bookstores all around the world, also at Amazon.com. Make sure you pick it up. And Nile, thank you so much for taking out this time and spending it with us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. Really was good.
Hey, no problem. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we have artist Roz Geller will be joining us live to talk about her passion with the arts. You're listening to Conversations Live on the radio at 92.3 FM and online worldwide through blogtalkradio.com.
Character building counts. Have you weaved a character building message such as goodness, honesty, leadership, empathy, or responsibility into your book of any genre? Most likely you have. Character Building Counts Book Awards can help you market your book through our unique book award program. We honor children's, young adult, fiction, and nonfiction books, from romance and paranormal to business and memoir, that deliver a character building message. Get the attention and acclaim your work deserves by winning radio time, seals for your book cover, press releases, web presence, and more. Character Building Counts at CBC Awards. Sign up now at www.cbcawards.com. CBC, where character building counts.
Welcome to Conversations Live, where we bring you the best in music, books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us. Now, here is your host, Cyrus Webb.
And we're back with Conversations Live. That was a fascinating conversation with music legend Nile Rodgers. I really appreciate him coming on the show, not only to talk about his journey, but also to be able to talk to us about the book Le Freak, an upside-down story of family, disco, and destiny. This is one of those books, I tell you. Every music lover should have it. Anyone who's interested in a great story should really pick this up, because I think it is one of those books that people can really appreciate. You know, what I really appreciate about Niles is not only his honesty in the book, but how he really helps all of us to understand our roles in life and what we're able to do with the life that we've been given. Everything from cleaning up in an airport, how that shaped his existence and helped him in moving forward. So we appreciate him coming on the show. Again, that website to find out more information about Nile is www.nilerodgers.com. It's NileRodgers.com. That's NileRodgers.com is where you go for more information about Nile and also about the book as well. You can also read his blog there that's on his website too. We're supposed to be speaking to artist Roz Geller here on the program. Unfortunately, we're having some issues being able to bring Roz in. We do apologize for that. We'll definitely work in getting her rescheduled as soon as we can. But we really appreciate all of you joining us for the entire hour today. It's been an amazing show, and glad all of you could share it with us. Until next time, my name is Cyrus Webb, saying as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music and also a great book. Thanks for listening to Conversations Live. Have a great one.